Okay, I guess that was the voice of God a bit late. Okay, so why do I bother telling you about this? I'm sure kind of most of you already know, but what do I need my vector space to satisfy for this? So, okay, I have colors. That's what I should do. So I mean, my dual, is blue a good color? Will you see blue? Okay, let me know if it's not a good color. So here, like the dual will be the Hom, like the Hom vector space. So into K, here you just pair objects. I have some small x and small f. Send them to f of x. And then really for the co-evaluation, to be able to write down this one, I need to have a basis of my vector space. So I'm going to send 1 to something like the sum over the basis tensored. And so here to really like have not really the evaluation, but the co-evaluation map such that this holds, we need our vector space to be finite dimensional. Okay, so I'll just put it here to have it somewhere. So having a dual is same as being one dualizable, exactly if and only if x is finite dimensional. Okay, it's a nice, tiny, cute example. Why do I start with it? Because it's essentially the same if you plug in any other symmetric monoidal category. So I'm going to cheat a bit and say, like, okay, if I have an object x living in some C symmetric monoidal category, then it has a dual object in C. If I have these one morphisms such that the same relationships hold. So this one is rather like nice, easy. I assume most of you kind of have seen this before. But what do you do if you want, for example, morphisms to have duals? So let's do something we maybe already know. So if I start with two categories, this is kind of the, I don't know, the prototypical example that you used. And then we take a functor between them. Then we say that the functor has what, a left adjoint. Could also do the right adjoint. I'm just going to do one of them. F left. If you can give some natural transformations that look similar to these, so some natural transformations, and let's see if I get like the co-unit. So this is one composition, kind of in a similar fashion as before, and this is the other one. And someone, please correct me if I messed up the unit and the co-unit, but I think this is right for left adjoint. And then, of course, like a similar kind of snake relation should hold. So I'll write one of them, well, F and F, where I should have eta F, F epsilon, and again, this should be like the identity on my F. Okay, so this is kind of one, it looks very similar. It's the kind of a standard thing to ask for in category theory. And I can make sense of it in any bi-category. So here, instead of the category of categories, I can just put some B, some bi-category. F will not be a functor, it will be a one morphism. I forgot to write out functor, so don't even have to take it out. And then my natural transformations has to be like substituted by some two morphisms of whatever by category you're working in. And then the same, like, you ask for the same data, you ask for the same relationship to hold. And I mean, I should say there's also the second one here. Okay, so why am I telling you this? Because this is essentially everything you need to talk about dualizability in a higher category two. Why? So, Okay, so pretend we have some higher category C. I already told you that, like, an object is one dualizable if it has a dual. So that's a dual. And, like, in the process of finding your dual object, you end up needing two one morphisms. Okay. But then for these one morphisms, I can ask for left and right adjoints. And that is the next step. So for X to be two dualizable, I need, I'm incapable of writing, so the evaluation and co-evaluation one morphisms needs to have all adjoints. And this is, a priori, it's tons of data. All adjoints, I mean, like, really, all, like, they need to have left and right adjoints, they need to have left and right adjoints again. And then there are some results to, like, reduce how much you actually need to provide. But really, like, this you should think of as a lot. And in the process of getting these adjoints, we again have some, like, unit and co-unit two morphisms. So this gives you some two morphisms. It gives you a lot of them for every adjunction. And to have three dualizability, you ask again for adjoints of those. So this is kind of, like, really the kind of iterative thing you do to ask for dualizability. So and then you again have some, like, higher step up, and you just continue this. And strictly speaking, some of you should have complained because, like, I only told you how to have adjoints in a by category, but a priori, that's not what I have here. Like, how do I make sense of it? And I mean, just in case you're interested, what you do is just take out, like, a truncated homotopy category of like the Hom spaces of the right order. So kind of you take. So here these are, I'm gonna get the number right. so two morphisms, so you take, like, objects are one morphisms. Your one morphisms are two morphisms. You kind of just, like, twiggle it to be a bicategory. And then you take equivalence classes of the one step up. Okay, so this is somehow, like, if you want to work with a higher category and you want to talk about dualizability, this is the game you play. So one example, like, what does this give you? And I should start by connecting it to what I'm doing later. So we'll do the Morita 2 category. So my objects are associative algebras. One morphisms are bimodules. So here, for example, like, I can have A and B, then M, and AB bimodule is the one morphism from A to B is the convention I like. And two morphisms are bimodule homomorphisms. So this will be somehow a, and this is the guiding example for the higher Morita category, where you take bimodules up to kind of the certain step, and then you start taking like the one morphisms in the underlying category. So here, like maps of bimodule, like linear maps, but then they need to kind of be compatible with this bimodule structure. So that's, we end up with bimodule homomorphisms. And so what do we know here? First of all, every object will be one dualizable. So let's call this one, I think it's normally called like Moore, or for later Alge 1 of Vect. So every object has a dual, which is just the opposite algebra. But, and this is really like every object you can provide the dual. It's just A op, and the way you get evaluation and co-evaluation map is, I'll just briefly say it, you see A as an AA bimodule, and then you move it to one or the other side. So evaluation is A as an A tensor A op K, and co-evaluation is the other way around. A op tensor A. And this, I mean, this is data I can give for every algebra. But what about two dualizability in here? So A is two dualizable if and only if A is separable, finitely generated and projective. Yeah, I should have started this by saying it's a while since I was writing on a blackboard. So like, if you can't read anything, please ask. If something is unclear, then also please ask. Over K. Okay, so somehow there's this distinction that every object has a dual, is one dualizable. But for two dualizable, you need to ask your algebra to be very specific and kind of picks out this like interesting algebraic structure for you, essentially. Okay, so
I'm not sure if it's a stupid question. Do you have any what was the assumption of K? K is
So strictly speaking, I don't think you need K to be a field. If it is, then the finitely generated and projective is redundant.
But it's cumulative. K.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Yes. You're right. Thanks. It's a good thing I'm tall enough. Okay, so
when I say separable, what does that mean?
So there are like a couple of ways of defining it. I like the one where the multiplication has a splitting or like a right inverse. And then there's a couple more, and I don't remember them. Like maybe someone can then help me out. I remember one, and then I'm happy. But okay. So thanks for the question. So, okay. So just like a very short, like why do I even care? And so the one thing it kind of like very briefly have sketched out in my two examples is that asking for dualizability can kind of pick out interesting structures for you. So well, that's a very interesting structures just on its own. But then there's like this standard answer, I guess, that we also have the cobordism hypothesis. So, or for fully extended frame TFTs. So what do I mean by this? Just to like keep it self-sufficient. So a D-dimensional TFT, which is then a functor that is symmetric monoidal out of some higher bordism category. So this is really like constructed as an infinity D category. into some target is equivalent to dedualizable objects in your target. And there's like probably a long list of names that I should kind of attribute this to. So Lurie, Jean-Marpris, Bayes-Dolan, and Daniela Francis. I've probably forgotten some, and I apologize. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. so obvious. And you told me not to insult anyone, and I already did it. Couldn't even get halfway. So this is also like, I mean, so this is like really the fully extended frame.
Is the cobordism hypothesis still a hypothesis? Cobordism fact now or something?
So as far as I know, without being an expert, there are still like some flaws to the proofs that are out there, or some like, or is it already like this is 100%? You should know better.
So in some sense, like, it was proposed as a desideratum, as a hypothesis. You sort of say this is a model of n categories. If you think of a model of n categories, it should satisfy this hypothesis. And there are certain aspects of it where, you know, somewhere in this is actually building something that deserves the name Bord D framed. And so there's something that's like actually really model specific about whether you've built a thing that deserves that name or not. And different models, what deserves the name might look different. My understanding of the status of the Lurie proof itself is that Lurie gave a sort of detailed outline of a theorem, but had some kind of non-trivial steps that he had flagged, and said, this is really the hard part, this is the thing I'm going to come back to. And so at the time he wrote his paper, it was not a theorem. And then since then, other people have basically done those steps. And so now we're in an awkward state where if the order of papers had come out differently, he could have called his paper a theorem.
But you would say it's like 100% proven? Like this is what?
I have not read every paper in question, but talking to like the people that I know who have done it, who really have looked at it, basically saying, yeah, every step of the Lurie proof has been filled in, so there will never be a paper now that has complete proof.
I think in general, it's a theorem.
It is a theorem.
Yeah.
You want me to change it? Like now you're getting theorem. I think so too. But
well, such a paper should exist, but
yeah, I mean, what?
It would be nice.
The only time when I mean, I don't know. Chris keeps saying he's going to write out a paper that has all details. It's like a book just called The Cobordism Hypothesis.
Yeah.
Who knows if he'll actually do it? Because in some sense, like, the glory is gone. Like,
yeah, I don't blame him, but somebody should do it.
Well, I would give a lot of glory.
Their goal is something else. Their goal is to make a definition of N category in which the Cobordism hypothesis is so manifestly there. And that still takes work. I mean, they'd get some glory if they can finish that. Sorry, I wanted to hear.
No, I mean, thank you. Like I appreciate it too. Like I'm not sure like exactly how to like attribute it as a theorem or not. Okay. Either way, what I wanted to say was just like with the cobordism hypothesis, that's a theorem. Like giving dedualizable objects should tell you that there exists some fully framed d-dimensional TFT where you send the positively framed point to that object. So yeah, I'll write it out. Okay. So I mean, this is my main reason for caring about it. So maybe let's start Yeah, and then there's also, I mean, here I'm just saying one target category, right? And then one can be like Theo and try to find a universal target. or I'll stick with what is considered at least a reasonable good target. Which is this higher Morita category. So denoted algn of S. And maybe before I get started, so there are essentially two constructions to this higher category. One is due to Claudia Scheinbauer, like my supervisor. And she uses factorization algebras. I'll talk a little bit about exactly how. But the takeaway is that this construction is very geometric. And it, to some extent, at least for dualizability, is very convenient to work with. But I'll get to this later as more of like a spoiler for the end. This version is actually pointed, meaning it's not exactly what I wrote out here. It would be one morphisms are pointed by modules. And it maybe sounds like a tiny detail. It amounts to some quite like serious constraint, so to say. And then there is another version by Rune Haugsang. I forgot an S. Which is, in my opinion, rather like very technical. He uses something called like non-symmetric infinity operands. So I don't know, I'll write it as a spoiler, but I'm not going to go there. And this one is unpointed. But for dualizability, it is rather hard to work with. So I'm going to stick with this one, like rather geometric one, and I'll talk a little bit more about these differences later on. Maybe I'll go to somewhere with more space.
What is S?
It's just some ambient category. So for example, here it was vector spaces. You can also put like, for example, categories is a good, you know, S that people care about. Gene complexes.
Is it a monoidal category?
Yes, thank you. Very much. It needs to be a symmetric monoidal. I don't know, you can put like an infinity K category here, and it has to be sufficiently nice for this to work without me maybe going into that detail. But the examples I already mentioned are nice enough. Okay, so.
Yeah. Even if S is vector spaces, it's still kind of a non-trivial question, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That is the point I wanted to make. Like, one dualizability, easy, every object has a dual. Two dualizability, really much like ask something non-trivial of your algebra. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about what this category is. So I wanted to somehow capture TFTs. And so one reasonable thing to expect from your object is that it has the structure of an EN algebra. So algebras in this underlying category. So that would be one way of kind of saying, okay, like a good, like a reasonable thing to expect from this category is that the objects are EN algebras. And thanks to Lurie, EN algebras as an infinity one category is equivalent to so-called locally constant factorization algebras. On Rn, like with values in this underlying category S. I was told that maybe this would be a crowd where I could expect what if like people to know a little bit about factorization algebras, but I will just like very briefly give you the definition to kind of make the talk self-contained. So So factorization algebra on some topological space is the pre-Cauchy. So some functor, well, I feel sorry for the board. I'm kind of punching it to pieces out of the category of opens on your space into the underlying category S. And when I say factorization algebra, I always mean a multiplicative one. So I need want to send disjoint unions to tensor products. And it satisfies like a Cauchy condition, but only for a certain type of opens. So for certain covers is what I should say. I'm sorry. This is fair enough. Certain covers. Okay, and then locally constant means that everything, like every two opens that are equivalent, so to say. So I mean, I could even, like, maybe I like saying U into V that are isotopy equivalent, then it will be sent to an equivalence in my target category S. Okay, so let me just do a very easy example. So for example, an associative, like you probably should have guessed, an associative algebra should be an example of this. That's what I'm claiming. It should be like a Morita category, what I'm building here. So A, some associative algebra, it gives rise to a locally constant factorization algebra on R1 and for S equal vector spaces. Okay, and so how does this work? For every tiny disk, I want to touch my algebra, A. If I have two disks that are disjoint, then I should send, I mean, both disks should be sent to A, but their disjoint union should be sent to the tensor product. So two copies of A. If I take some open, like some disk around both of them, so this disk, I should also send it to A. But now, of course, I have an occlusion map of the like the disjoint union of the two small opens into the bigger blue open, which should correspond to a map here. And that's exactly the multiplication. And then you can kind of play around with what you get for like associativity. I'm not going to do it now to save some time. And just to mention it, the unit of my associative algebra comes from including the empty set into any open. So at least we recover what should be like the original Morita category. That's good. And now, what are morphisms? So one morphisms, in this language, it would be something like bimodules of EN algebras. And this is somehow taking up one of the directions of your EN algebra, but there's N minus one left. So this bimodule is again going to be an N minus one algebra. Maybe I should say, like, if you don't know this, then just like think about the factorization algebras, whichever side you like most. And here, so it's going to be something called a constructible factorization algebra. On like Rn with a certain stratification, which kind of like I'll do it for n equals 1 and n equals 2, and then you kind of like can see the pattern, so to say. So for n equals 1, and let's just stick for the vector spaces, like for n equals 1, I need my factorization algebra to be constructible on this stratified space. And constructible simply Like, it just means that it's locally constant with respect to the stratification. So this disk is not the same as this disk anymore, which it would have been without the stratification. And what I claim is that if I give you a pointed bimodule, I can give like a constructible factorization algebra here. So pointed bimodule M from A to B gives me
one. What is a pointed bimodule? What do you mean?
Yeah. I'll get to it. So let's do the bimodule first. So what I want to say is that, okay, anything with the point in it, any disk with a point, I want to attach my bimodule. And here, I'll like keeping the game I had an algebra here and an algebra here, like A and B. So this one is attached A. My module map, or like the action, is going to come from this inclusion. So I have A tensor M into. This one is M. And this seems nice, right? But what did I say about the empty set? I can still have the empty set included into something with a point. And this is effectively picking out a pointing on my bimodule, a map from the underlying vector space into my module. And so this is what I mean by pointed. And since this is the same as including the empty set into something on the side, and then including it something that contains M, like the point, all of the bimodule maps also have to kind of preserve the pointing. And it seems pretty innocent, right? I thought it was rather innocent in the beginning. Turns out to be kind of a strong feature. So I'm just trying to see how much out of time I'm going to be. So let me just tell you what, so for ALG2, just want to give you like one more example so you can kind of get these stratifications. So then, like the objects are going to be locally constant factorization algebras living on R2. The one morphisms are going to be constructible living on this guy. So this is somehow where you see, okay, I have a bimodule in this direction, but I still have a E1 structure in the second direction. This is the left. And then two morphisms are going to live on this stratified space. So here I have like a, like to the point is going to be a bimodule of bimodules, so to say. And then, yeah, I'm not going to spell it out, but it's essentially like you just keep on playing this game by adding more dimensions for the higher version. And I think I forgot to say it, but like one, I don't know, for me, kind of motivation. So what you can show, or what Kostelik-William has shown, is that, for example, these locally constant factorization algebras, they give you the observables of perturbative Chern-Simons, for example. So that would be one reason why these are a good target. So for example, Simons fits here. It's like one kind of guiding example for GFT. Okay.
Sorry, this might be a dumb question, but the D in the Kobordism statement, does that?
It doesn't have to match with the ALG N.
Is there a restriction? Like, if I pick a D, does that kind of dictate what my N may not be allowed to be or something?
In ALG N?
Yeah. To put in as the target. Or is anything?
No, I mean, like what I can say, if you pick a D to be higher than your, what do I want to say? It's just about a matter of like, What level of dualizability do I understand in ALG N? So maybe I can answer it after I tell you what I know about dualizability in ALG N. And then I can say like some of them, like setting D equals to N, that's a good thing. We know what these dualizable objects are. If you want to go one level up, that's essentially what I'm working on. But there are some, like, yeah, there, like, in specific situations, it's kind of worked with, and it would be interesting to understand this level. But it's a good question. I made it different on purpose. I'm just realizing I'm running a bit. So what is known about generalizability here is the following. So it's a theorem due to Gulliam and Scheinbauer that every object in Algen is undualizable. Wow. This is pretty impressive. That's like, if you remember how I talked about dualizability in the beginning, that this is kind of a lot of data that they have figured out. And really what their statement is, I'm just doing the easier one to save some time, but really what their statement is that every object has a dual, but also every K-morphism that's smaller than N has a left, like has all adjoints. So really what they're showing is a little bit more, but let me just like stick with the easier statement. So here, every object in Algen is undualizable. And does anyone remember when I started? It was at a...
About 10 minutes after, I think.
10 after, okay. Then I do have time to at least comment on the like how it works. So essentially the proof is very geometric. And this is the cool thing about working with these factorization algebras. I promised it would be geometric, and that's the reason why we can understand the undualizability there. So if we do n equals 1, I have some object living on A, and I'm just going to draw in the arrow to kind of indicate which like direction the multiplication goes. So here I have my associative algebra, say, for vector spaces. I should not write it out. It works for any S. Okay, and then what did I say about the dual? It was essentially take A as an AA bimodule and then flip it around a bit. And so I do this. I take A as an AA bimodule, and then I can bend it. So the evaluation is going to look like this. And here you just have like the underlying identity, like a unit object of S. And here, then, because of the bending, you see that the way you're like stacking on tiny disk, for example, the multiplication here is going to go the other way. So this is like attaching A here and A up here. And strictly speaking, I said that the factorization algebras live on R1, but there is a procedure of collapsing this into something that just lives on the line. So that's why you should think of this as a factorization algebra, but like really formally you need to collapse it to something like. And the co-evaluation goes the other way. So instead I get something like this. And the way you get the snake identity is to essentially, okay, combine these with some identities and stretch it out. And this was just like bending in one dimension. If I do n equals 2, I have essentially two ways of bending. I can do this times 1, and then I can bend in the other direction as well. That is probably going a bit too fast, but what am I want to say? It goes something like, if I have a sheet of paper, so like R2, I can bend it in the following way. Something like this. This will be the evaluation map. It's just what I did times some interval in the like the second direction. And if I have some one morphism, I have another direction to bend, which is this one. And then this is going to get you the unit. And then the co-unit is bended the other way around. Essentially, like the takeaway, if this was too fast, the proof is very geometric, and it uses that you have some kind of like number of dimensions to just bend your like You just manipulate, bend your factorization algebra, and that's all you need. And somehow, the reason why you end up, like, you stop at undualizable here, like, one reason why this kind of proof works only for undualizable is that at a certain, like here after n equals 1, like, you can bend once, but that's the I can't bend anymore. Like, the next level of maps is bimodal homomorphisms. And here, I can bend twice, and then I'm kind of running out of these geometric dimensions, and I need to, like, start understanding the underlying category. Okay. And finally, I get to use your eraser. Took a while. And this is essentially what I spend a lot of time thinking about. So first, I should just mention that. What do I want to say? So in Algen of S, like this Scheinbauer version, one can also show, so this is, let's call it a theorem, also in Gwilym. Scheinbauer, but I think Theo, you have a separate proof of it, if I'm not mistaken, or at least Claudia said at some point you have.
You're about to say it's probably something I sort of sketched but didn't provide details for.
It can be in a in a like in a parenthesis. So yeah. So yeah. What do I want to say? So in Algen, the only n plus 1 dualizable object is the unit and the underlying category.
This is when S is a 1 category. And this is just not true when S is a free category.
When it's, yeah, but if you say like infinity 1, then I'm happy. Yes.
I'm confused what the statement says for n equals to 1.
Yeah, so what did I have on the board? I had something about two dualizable, separable, finitely generated, projective. Yes, but this one, my one morphisms are bimodules. They're not pointed.
Oh, okay.
And this is, I mean, that's spot on. That's exactly like the big difference. So here you have something where understanding undualizability is very geometric, it's well understood. But because of this pointing, this annoying empty set into something with a point, there is no way you're going to get anything that's interesting that's n plus 1 dualizable. But I told you there were two. Yes?
So when n is 0, so you're saying like pointed vector spaces don't have dualizables.
Yeah.
Is that something easy to understand?
That's a good question. I mean, the problem is that the...
But it's a good exercise for the audience.
Okay, then I'm not going to give away the next sentence.
So basically, quiet space just means the vector space within that one.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what I wanted to say is I told you there's two versions, and the one by Runa is actually unpointed. Which sounds amazing, right? And that's kind of when you work in specific examples. So for example, Bullshit Jordan Snyder, they worked this out for like n equals 2 and s equals cat. And then they just employ Runa's version. However, even the undualizability data that we kind of understand in this pointed like factorization algebra world, I am not capable of translating it to Runa's version. So far, I don't know anyone that has done this. Because the language is just very different. And so these two are expected to be equivalent up to like n minus 1 and only differ at these like n morphisms. But yeah, that's still work to be done and it's very not obvious. So it's like, it sounds great, but it's also not the place you want to work with n plus 1 dualizability.
Sure.
N dualizability. Unless if someone knows how to do it, like feel free to to share your knowledge.
Sorry, So one more question.
Yeah.
Is there a founder either way by like forgetting the pointing or adding pointings or something like that?
That's what I would expect there is one, but I don't know. I don't think it's worked out. I don't know how actively like Rune and Claudia work on it, but certainly you should be allowed to forget the pointing, right?
Heuristically, there should be, and it should sort of, you might be able to like plumb together a whole bunch of statements from done additivity, and like somehow done additivity is telling you that there should be such a functor, but I don't think anyone's done it.
Yeah, and as far as I understand also, like what Rune constructs, to me it's not obvious that what he gets is like E and algebras as objects. I mean, oh, I shouldn't say that. It is rather clear that it should be E and algebras, but it's like in a, it's like very different way of setting it up. That's what I should say. So it's not clear to me how to translate between the two, essentially. Okay, so what I want to say, essentially I've told you why it's hard to figure out M plus one dualizability, and then I want to tell you what I'm working on showing, so it's very much work in progress, but I should at least have time to give you some flavor of it. So there is a conjecture slash, so for n equals 1, what I'm going to tell you is worked out by Lurie. And for n equals 2, as equals some nice category of categories, it's worked out, like I said, by Oshia Jordan-Snyder. And for other settings, it's a conjecture. And it goes as follows. So, an object, an algebra of S. Okay, you guessed that is M plus one dualizable. If and only if. It has to be. Maybe I thought I would cheat my way out of like making a distinction, but in the unpointed algebra N. Is M plus one dualizable if and only if it is, it has, let's say left adjoint as a module over some factorization homologies, which I'm gonna write out first, and then let's see if I get it right. So I want to take like values in A, my E n algebra, over S k minus 1 times R n minus k plus 1. And I should ask for this for k between 0 and n. And then before I make this a bit less mysterious, I just want to tell you that this takes the framing from the k-disk. Okay, and now you might wonder, like, what the hell happened there with this conjecture? So let me just kind of connect it to some of the pictures I've already drawn. I'm completely missing out on the opportunity of using this eraser, but. And there it went. Okay. I have to use it at least once, right? Would be a missed opportunity otherwise. Okay, so what do you get for n equals I wanted 1 and k equals 0? So then I have s k, like s to the minus 1. This is by like by convention, just the empty set. So what I'm asking for is just my object to be dualizable, like my object as a 1S module to be like have an adjoint or be dualizable. So what do I want to say?
I'm confused about the meaning of the word adjoint here. So it has a left adjoint as a module.
Oh. Yeah, so A here as a module over, like as a left 1S module, so just A as an object essentially, as a left adjoint.
Do you mean Joule as a module?
Do I mean?
Has a Joule as a module? Is that the same thing?
Yes. Yeah, I think people use the same word for it. I just.
So the older word would be it's a finitely generated projective module.
Yes. Yes, here. So somehow, and I mean, yeah, this is exactly the point, right? That A as an object in the underlying category has to be dualizable. This is essentially the first thing you're asking for. And then the k equals 1 condition is going to be something, OK, I want to take, I get S0 times R1. And but it takes the framing of D1. And so what is this? I'm going to, like, this is D1 with a framing, but let me just draw it like this instead. And then the S0 is going to be exactly like I have some point here and some point here, and then times R1, so tiny interval. And then the framing is going to be 1 up and 1 down. And somehow this is exactly kind of capturing. Let me see if I find my picture. It's exactly encoding the source of this evaluation of one morphism. Okay, and then.
So can I say more explicitly what means in this case? So I mean, this so you're saying that it should have an a left adjoint as a module over this, which means what in this case?
Yeah. So A as an A tensor, A op. Like left module should have a left adjoint. And remember, this is exactly capturing, what did I say? This is exactly capturing the evaluation map. And now I just erased it, but no, I didn't. So this dualizability, okay, I now captured exactly kind of the source of the evaluation map, and I'm asking for it to have an adjoint. So it's exactly kind of a coding in this specific case, what this dualizability amounts to.
So is this the
yes.
thing that Kuntsevich calls being a smooth algebra?
Being what?
A smooth algebra, Kuntsevich, get it.
How does it go in chain complexes? It should be like smooth and proper, I think. But I mean,
proper and this one is smooth.
Yes, exactly. So yes, that's what it amounts to, kind of a specific target. And yes, and I have a cheat sheet for kind of the higher things, so I don't have to draw it all out. But let me see if I manage to get it up. Oh, it even. Kind of impressed. So yeah, I know. Oh, okay. So I mean, this is essentially like what I just drew out for n equals 1. It captures is actually like exactly the left side of the evaluation, and the left side of the co-evaluation will be like a as a 1s. And the reason why you only need to like capture, say, the source of the evaluation and co-evaluation maps is because there's a way of reducing like asking for full like n dualizability to only asking for all left adjoints, for example. So due to Manuel Arapo, I cannot pronounce his name, I'm very sorry. and so for n equals 2, what do? Like I sketched out before, you have your object. I can bend it, so this is going to be my evaluation map. And then I said, like, strictly speaking, you have to think about it as collapsed down to R2 with the stratification. And this is the co-evaluation map. And then what you're going to get for example, if you want to do the left adjoints of the evaluation map is going to be something like these guys. Essentially, this one is going to be like the same condition here, like n equals 2, but k equals 1 is going to be this guy thickened up. So it's going to capture like exactly kind of this part, like the conjecture. And for the unit, like this is just the condition drawn out for n equals 2, k equals 2. So it takes the framing of the two disk, and this is exactly like S1 times the tiny interval, like this outer annulus. And the way you see that it kind of comes from the pictures is by dragging it. I mean, here I drew it the other way around, but dragging it in, and it's going to like match exactly with the framing you get from kind of playing around with the dualizability data in this algen, but pointed. So essentially, like going this direction, so if you have n plus 1 dualizability, like playing around with this, it's rather clear that you're going to have this condition of being having an adjoint over as a module over these factorization homologies. And going the other way is harder. But put it this way, like I essentially like it's worked out for n equals 2, s equals cat, for example, and it's rather clear what to do to generalize it. Like I have an idea for that. I'm rather confident. But the tricky part is to find the right formalism. Like I can't use the factorization algebra like pointed Morita category, because there just won't be any interesting n plus one dualizable objects there. And I also don't know even how to translate like one dualizability into ruinous version. So it's like essentially like, this is very much work in progress, but this like building some like in-between Morita category that allows me to, yeah, to kind of work this out properly. But I think that was it. Hopefully I didn't forget too much. Do you have it?
All right, do we have any questions? Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you mentioned this, like, Brochet, Jordan, Snyder paper, which is when this is cat, but then I also have kind of two dimensions coming from cat. Can you say anything about?
Wait, you also have.
For this, like, for the Brochet, Jordan, Snyder context, they're in a four category. You could ask all the way up to four dualizable. You're telling me the three dualizability is this.
This thing, yes.
Do you have any conjectures or statements of, for kind of?
No, to me, it's not very clear, like, if there's a good way of then, like, because, like, this geometric part comes from picking out exactly, like, the source or target of the n-morphisms, which kind of have geometric nature, and I wouldn't know how to kind of work in a similar way to go, like, n plus 2 dualizability. And I mean, even in the case of like S equals categories, it's not very clear what, like they have like sufficient conditions for dualizability.
They didn't answer that necessarily.
Exactly. So it's like even in this kind of well-studied target, it's not very well understood what are your dualizable objects, and it's rather hard. Like, yeah, fusion will be sufficient, but it's for sure not necessary.
Second question, just so I understand your statement, you're saying like the did I understand right that you said that kind of you can heuristically do all the topology if there were an unpointed factorization algebra model?
Yes, that's what I would want.
is this your statement that you can actually, like if I could give you an unpointed factorization algebra model, then you could implement this, then you could do this theorem? Is that?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I work in progress. You told me, but I have a clear idea for how to work with it and like how to get. I mean, this going from having this as a module and promoting it up to an n-morphism, But yes, I just would need the right framework to actually write it out, because like these are higher categories. Like even though I kind of by hand know the idea, sitting down by hand and writing out like infinity functors, that's not what you want to do. And so there's like, to some extent, very much like work in progress to find the right framework for it. But yes. Yes.
You can imagine some kind of naive guesses as to how to modify the notion of factorization over time by saying you only look at inclusions of opens, which where each open has the same number of zero-dimensional strata, or something like this.
Yes, and I mean, I'm.
It seems like an obvious thing to do.
Yeah, and then there comes some like technical difficulties, right? Because you want certain thing to hold for a factorization algebras, like just to make this higher category, I would need to know how to glue them to kind of compose one morphisms. And so what was your proposition? Just to like say it has to be.
If you have two one open inside the other, they should have the same number of zero dimensional strata.
Points, yeah. So the thing is that like one way of understanding factorization algebras is essentially like by a kind of left-con extending from the inclusions of disks into opens. That's essentially like in chain complexes what Jack complex does for you. Uh-huh. And I don't understand this well. So if you take out this like having empty set into like something with a point, you take away having an initial object. So like in this higher categorical framework, I don't understand yet how like then the left con extension would look like, which makes it hard to kind of explicitly sit down and prove things. If you would have an idea on how to like work with it, like I would be very happy to hear it, but there's like just some technical difficulties to just taking it out and then kind of still being able to prove the things you want a factorization algebra to satisfy.
I guess there's one, I don't know if it occurs to me, one other thing that, like, I knew that one didn't work that you were saying, because I remember trying to do this. Saying, like, let's just demand that factorization algebras be isozone instead of zero strata. But
yeah.
The other thing I could imagine doing is, like, take the. Well, anyway, I have an idea. Maybe I should say that.
Feel free to share after, too, right?
One other idea that might be worth trying, because. And the basic idea is that, like, actually, although you were saying the issue is whether the bimodules were pointed, it's not really the issue whether the bimodules are pointed.
It's the issue
whether the bimodule homomorphisms preserve the pointing.
Yes. So that would be.
You could try to go in and take a category whose objects up to dimension n, which came
are the same,
are exactly the pointed factorization algebras.
And then you just take away.
Dimension n plus one.
Yes. Yeah.
Has that been rolled out as a plausible?
It has not. No, it's not been rolled out. It's just on a long list of things to try. But yes, it's for sure. Like, yes, I like this idea.
I think I would have a guess.
And it would solve.
Write down that n plus one.
Yeah, if you would have anything, like, I'll pick your brain about it.
We could do it.
Hmm.
We would have to. Anyway, let's write.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, it's some amount of work. But that's for sure a possibility that could work, I think.
Do we have any other questions?
On Zoom, okay.
No, I don't see any.
Thank Eileen again.
Thank you.